Blog Talk Radio. Tonight, back with a live mic, speaking in nothing but approximations. It's me. It's the often imitated C. Havana, rarely duplicated C. Havana, love to be calculated, king of the stolen base and master of the financial tightrope, the leader of the Republic Nation, the former adult baseball series, World Series champion, but always the World Series champion in all of your hearts, Mike Simigoli, hashtag penis photo bro. And joining me momentarily is going to be a man whose legend is as glorious as our new opening theme song, is as wonderful as Logan's run was, and is triumphant in his return to the playoffs. It is the man whose playoff drought ended in 2028, whose love for Billy Joel is only matched for his love of fine cuisine. And by fine cuisine, we know we're talking about Brooklyn Decker, hashtag Brooklyn over Kate, a man whose rotation is one Street Fighter, a.k.a. Vega Lighter, whose best hitter may just in fact be gay, a man whose one day hopes he can be just like me. Gary the Curse is finally over Altman. We'll be with us momentarily. So I wanted to get that introduction on because, hey, I typed it out, so I wanted to get it done. Gary is working on technical difficulties, and if anyone of you know Gary, you will understand that the technical difficulties with Gary are as technically difficult as my tone, my speech, my slur, my stutter, if you will. But ABL Pod, damn it, number 17, Back to the Future, is here. It is live. It is absolutely fantastic. And with 27 minutes and 19 seconds left, we have a lot more time to go with you guys who are listening live. For everyone else, this will be up, archived, and available to you in the morning via Blog Talk Radio and also iTunes and wherever the podcast apps that you access by just searching ABL Pod, damn it. It's fucking amazing. All right, so 2028 ended up in majestic fashion for one Bob Aller, who is Havana, who is the ABL World Series champion. He stapped the run of SoCal. We had some amazing games with SoCal losing in the 9th, 10th, 11th, and 12th inning. We had four one-run games and a pair of two-run games. It was extremely close. It was extremely tight. And to be quite honest, it was basically the World Series this season in the ABL, because once Havana got to the World Series, he fought those assholes up north who just enjoy pancakes ever so much. Mabel, Goldilocks team here, Goldie's team, and just absolutely whitewashed them. The Hardy factor was definitely a factor. Hammer Time Hardy, Hammer of Justice, whatever you want to call him, whatever I call him. I call him the Hammer of Justice because, quite frankly, when you look at Hammer Hardy, you look at the Hammer of Justice. But let's talk about ABL predictions. Let's talk about what happened, and we're going to do that once Gary gets on the line. He's not quite there, but until then, let's go ahead and talk about the next export, which will be coming up tomorrow night at 7 p.m. my time. If you do not know it, where I'm, SoCal, come on. 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 10 p.m. for all you East Coast guys, everybody else, figure it out. But we will be officially into live games, officially into spring training, which has me officially ecstatic. I was talking to Gary, the other day on the phone, and we were talking about ABL in terms of tiers, and I'll let me go and type this down. Bring up tiers. And now I would like to say that this is all, everything is an approximation here. I'm not speaking in facts. I'm not speaking in sure things. I'm speaking in approximations. I am speaking from the heart. So anything and everything you hear is copyright of myself, of my mind, and quite frankly is something that I do not have control over half the time. but either way, me and Gary were talking about tiers here, and we're talking about the tiers, the levels, the separation here in the Adult Baseball League. And then I got sidetracked and we started talking about Irvin and how amazing Irvin was again. You know, Gary's not on here, so we're not gonna get a fuck KC tonight. We're gonna get a fuck KC, but I mean, Irvin, you should have called in, buddy. That's okay. Hashtag football on delay. So if you guys are hearing this right now, text Irvin and tell Irvin the score of the football game, because it would be hilarious. And I'm not quite sure why Gary isn't here yet. I really wanted him to hear my glorious introduction. But that's neither here nor there. And while I am good at many things here, I am not as good as Gary in terms of running a solo podcast. I am great at stalling. I can talk for hours. We all know this. But I'm not great in terms of actually sitting down and giving ABL content, because spring training, you're killing me. I guess I could go through the standings. I could go through the pages. I could go through the big transactions. But I'm not going to do that because, you know why. But spring training does start tomorrow. It does start today. It does start and get into, to the games. And the preseason predictions report has not been generated. Predictions will be made for the first time you visit the screen during the spring training or on the first day of spring training in online leagues. Let me check the updated, by the way, ABL website. I don't believe that the reports are updated, so I don't believe it's on the website as well. The reports are still from November, which is fine because who cares? I guess we could go over the award winners here through the history page, because there might be some of you who are unaware of who won. We had, and those are not updated as well on the website. I could go through the game. Let me check. Gary is still not with us. That's a little bit unfortunate. Give me 1 second of dead air to type something really quick. Alrighty. Dead air. Unfortunate. Okay. Anyways, so as I talked about, me and Gary were getting into the ABL by the tiers this year. We were getting into the ABL. Gary said he's listening and it's not doing shit. Hold on. All right. Okay. So me and Gary have been talking about for a while now the tiers in the ABL. Gary has a bold statement about one of the expansion teams, and I'll go ahead and let him throw that out there once he gets on the line. I'm trying to convince him to just call in via his cell phone this one time, because Gary bought a badass microphone too, but apparently his computer, even though we talked for 20 minutes on the computer earlier through Hangouts, through, you know, the phone service, it's just not working for him. I'm not quite sure why. I'm not quite sure what's going on. Yes, click OK, Gary. Let me see. Click OK. But I'm sure you are. And it's just not working. All right. So we've been talking about tiers for a while. We've been talking about where we think teams land for a while and exactly. I am sorry. Then it says call for free. Then this. Yes, OK. I'm sorry, everyone. But I do apologize. Like I said, I'm good at many things, but talking and multitasking is not one of them. My focus needs to be directly on the task I am doing, or else I will not be successful. All right. So let's recap a little bit. At the end of the season last year, we had Havana win the World Series. Congratulations, Bob. And to the start of the offseason, we had Havana. You know, let's talk about Havana Mania. We had Havana. Hold on. Damn it, Gary. Hi, Gary. I don't know what he's asking me. Maybe a call. Phone call. I don't know what to tell him. I'm not sure. Let me see if I'm going to use his phone. Really not sure. I'm totally apologizing. I'm going off the rocker here. So, all right, hold on. He's having me check the switchboard to see if he's on hold, which he is not. It was unfortunate. And like I said, I hope you guys aren't too bummed with this podcast. We'll have to do another one to appease. So he can hear me. Havana, continue. Okay, so talking about Havana, we're talking about Havana's run at the end of last season to basically push through SoCal, make it to the World Series, go on a fantastic run. And to start the offseason, Havana, you know, God bless Bob. He had four really good catchers, because he has Sue as well, who's a very good player. And I didn't realize he signed him for $5 million out of Taiwan, so I'm guessing he got him via the IFA. However, God bless Bob, he kept both of his catchers, which last names were Velasquez, which I really appreciate on more than one level. The first level being they have the exact same name, and it's absolutely amazing to me because I'm going to confuse the fuck out of them. One is Arturo and one is Jesus. But they're both really good players, obviously. Bob traded one of his catchers to San Francisco, and upon doing so, decides to dip into the IFA market where, looking at the way his rotation is set up right now, Bob goes from having Hardy and a whole bunch of other junk. Sorry, Bob, junk. In his rotation, junk that beat me, so junk, whatever. He has a $15 million middle reliever, which is Cano, who he signed last year. But he signs one of the two prizes of the offseason, that being Diego Santiago, which per my scout is a 50, 55, 48. And he got paid 8 years, $128 million, to slide square into the new number two spot in the Havana rotation. It will be filled out by Pete. I play above my talent level minor, who is decent. His control would worry me, but minor is a very good player who's on a cost-controlled deal. So obviously when you have a player like that, you roll with him. And we have Saeed Mashawanis, who's very good, who is probably like Verm ready. I mean, their ratings are extremely similar. So if you go to Havana and dig up Mashawanis, Saeed, full-pack Mashawanis, by the way, you'd see that, whose contract kicks in next year. He's never officially thrown an ABL pitch, but he got paid $30 million over six seasons to sign with Havana. The money that is just being thrown around in Havana is not only laced with cocaine, but it is glorious. It is, I mean, Havana's bills jumping up. Obviously, he got Hardy on a ridiculously, ridiculously cheap contract. He got Hardy at only $20 million a year. Hardy is by far the best pitcher in the ABL, quote-unquote, Tanner Johnson aside, quote-unquote, just kidding. So, you know, Hardy with Mashawas and with this Diego kid, he's in good shape. He has Minor. He has Terry Hill, who's whatever. Brody, who I kind of like, but who's not as good as his ratings indicate once you convert him back from a reliever to a starter. He had a really good season last year out of the bullpen for Bob, and I would expect him to fully go back into the bullpen once the season turns over. Having a player like him and having a player like Stroud listed as emergency starting pitchers to just fill in, it's really given Bob a sense of assured depth in his pitching and assured depth in his team. I'm a fan of sorting out ratings, a fan of sorting out individual skill sets that not only fit my team's preference of play, but fit my team's style of, here's the thing. Goldie, God bless him, always talks about worrying about your teams, you know, your own team and stuff. I have this discussion with Gary on occasion. I don't just worry about my team. I worry about everybody's team. I worry about, and maybe I'm not taking it in the exact way it's being proposed, I suppose. But I like to worry about everybody. I like to make sure to scout everybody. I like to know when Las Vegas has a second baseman coming up for an extension that he won't be able to sign, and that his payroll is ballooning up and there's no one in the system for him to acquire, unless he goes out, just using him as an example, unless he goes out of his way to acquire a player to fill a need. I like knowing that. I have a spreadsheet. It's really geeky. That kind of projects out free agents and when people make their rises and when they not make their rises, excuse me, I'm freaking exhausted. It's only 9:30. When people project outward on their teams. Let me type this to get one more time. got 10 minutes. Okay, so we're still trying to work on getting Gary on the line. He's having troubles with the stupid internet, which common for people of Gary's advanced age. Hashtag truth bomb. See, this is what happens when you leave me by myself, Gary. Have I mentioned to get your exports in by tomorrow night? I believe the sim deadline is 10 p.m., 7 p.m. Okay. Sorry if I seem distracted. I'm really trying to help Gary out here. I'm really trying to figure out where I'm leaving off because Gary has not returned yet. Let me see. So looking at, and I'm just gonna totally skip on my what I do because, you know, I'm totally distracted and waiting for Gary. But as soon as he gets here, the podcast will pick up because I'm sure I'll be a lot more excited. My voice will have been picked up and I will be something to ramble on with Gary about. Really, solo podcasts are absolutely not my thing. I work best when I'm playing off someone else in terms of I'm more interested. Speaking of being interested, South Carolina, Gary was far more interesting last year as he made the playoffs for the first time in a shit ton of years. I think 10 years. I think 2018 was the last time he made the playoffs. I think 2016, 2018 were his only two playoff years. And then he went 10 years without a playoff appearance. And we like to give Gary a hard time here at Poddammit because Gary is the only team in the ABL who has had somewhat goals of being successful. Let me rephrase. Everyone has goals of being successful. Gary is one of the only teams who has constantly pushed and pushed and pushed and pushed at being successful. And unfortunately, Gary has only made his, you know, he's only made his owner $5 million and he loses. Has lost, you know, I think it's 130 games, I believe he said under 500. So how he still has a job is beyond me. And this was supposed to be a predictions podcast, but damn it if we're not just going to have to do another podcast to knock that prediction podcast. I named this podcast Back to the Future because I would just like to revert a season where we did podcasts and where SoCal continued to be fortunate enough to have success in this league and win championships. That did not happen last year, obviously, as we've touched on Havana. Hashtag Havana Mania. But looking at the season as it plays out, looking at the divisions as they stand, I'm not seeing a lot of change this coming up season. I'm just not. When looking through the divisions, when looking through not just the divisions, but the conferences as well, I can't really see much, again, in terms of approximating, I can't really see much things changing this year. To take a look at the Billy Martin division, we've had San Francisco who has made big improvements. We have South Carolina who's added Comiskey and a couple other things has made strides as well. Ruiz. We've had Maple. Lampley, which I think is the best free agent offseason signing, aside from the roll of the dice for Jersey on the 22-year-old wonder kid. Maple, San Francisco, and South Carolina, with Cabos standing on the outside with a puncher's chance. You know, Jacksonville lost Sherrill. He lost Weeks. He lost the other outfielder whose name I can't remember, a middle reliever. He lost quite a few players. I just don't see... don't see anyone other than those three teams having a real shot next season at contending for the division crown / World Series. I was to scroll down, Jacksonville is 24th at having lost 4.4 WAR. The only teams below them are Las Vegas, SoCal, New York, and Duke. So interesting enough, the three teams who made the playoffs the last few years in my division are at the very bottom of the league in terms of what they've lost, in terms of WAR, which obviously means wins above replacement, how that correlates to everything. I'm not quite, I mean, I get it, but I'm not really sold on that statistic being the be-all, end-all here in the ABL and what actually drives success. I think ratings more so drive success than actual statistics do, and I know that sounds absolutely ridiculously silly to say because the game is heavily, heavily weighted towards those sabermetrically minded. But at the end of the day, it's the video game, and the video game is what, in my opinion, drives the engine and drives the actual performances and the actual ratings. Okay. Well, anyways, I really don't see anything changing on top of that division. When I'm looking at the Sparky Anderson division, I don't see anything outside of Eureka, Portland, Georgia, and, you know, Kansas City having the puncher chance as well changing. Irvin reluctantly admitted that his split personality is going to cause him either probably headaches or, you know, it's going to be great. His guys are going to win out riding on the sunset, or they're going to fucking absolutely fall on their face and put Kansas City in such a bad position that he's just going to be off for a while. And, you know, I'm not sure which it is. You know, KC hasn't really done that much this offseason aside from make a trade with, I believe, Seattle to kind of lengthen his infield. I believe it's for a third base upgrade. The talents they swapped were very evenly rated, one of which better at third base, which is the two that Irvin got in return. But they're both infielders, and they're both, you know, decent, solid ABL contributors, hopefully, for both of those teams. Sparky Anderson division, obviously Portland has been the biggest shaker, the biggest mover. He went out there and got an ace in Hill. You know, he went out and got an ace in Hill. He's still featuring, and I was talking to Gary about this as well, Badunt, Riccardi, Tasha, Zeus, Stockdale, Garcia, Lewis. Garcia was actually a free agent signing, excuse me. But the other six that I listed, the other five that I listed, were from trades two seasons ago when he moved out Tasha. When he moved out Dobby, he moved out Johnson. So we have five guys in the starting lineup from those two trades, not to include the overly ridiculous speedy development of Toro Sato, who quite possibly could be one of the next great ABL players. He's also sitting on Rick Hill, who he got from me, Perez, Trevino, and Lopez, who he also got from me. Do you guys hear that? That is my stew done. I'm making stew for my wife and myself, and it is beeping that it is done. Hopefully it'll stop in a second. Actually, give me a second to go stop. I'm just going to wake up my dogs. Hold on. Sorry, guys. I literally just walked away from the podcast, and I apologize. But, you know, Portland's in a really interesting position. Eureka's went after Kraft, the big catcher from South Carolina over the years, and I would assume he's going to hit him in his top five of his lineup, top six, whatever. So Kraft will be slotting right into the middle heart of the order there for Eureka. He still has Barrett. He still has Nimblekar, who's another awesome starting pitcher. Tyson and Sheffield, former South Carolina player as well, who looks like he's finally kind of finding his way here in the ABL over the last 2 years, where he's put up 3.5 WAR rounding out his rotation. So, you know, Gary got here, so I can't get overly excited. It's a little bit late, so I'm not overly excited. But I just don't see anything in that side of the conference changing. And I know that's not exactly what people want to hear. And I know that we preach ABL is there's parity in ABL. There's lots of changes in ABL. There's lots of great things in ABL. And these are all true. These are all facts. These are all 100% correct. However, next season, I do not see much changing at all on the loser side. On the TML side, the side who unfortunately cannot get over the hump when it comes to the World Series. And, you know, you guys got, like, 3 World Series titles in, like, 18 years. So deal with it. We win all the titles because we are awesome. But all kidding aside, I don't see anything really moving and shaking. I mean, Jacksonville lost, like, 4 guys. Jersey is still coming up, still building. He may flirt with being a little bit dangerous, but I don't see Jersey actually overtaking those 3 teams who I think are the 3 best on their side. Unfortunate for all of them. Bloomington, nowhere near ready. You know, Kansas City's aging out. Quebec, which is going to be decent, but probably not good enough to really push anything. Oklahoma's bad, and Mile High is Mile High, and that's nothing against Ron. It's just Mile High. First to worst, worst to first. It's absolutely amazingly brilliant. You know, and on my side, I'm fairly confident my team will be fortunate enough to make the playoffs again this year. I think Duke City is going to be good. I think Seattle is going to be good. I think Las Vegas is going to be good. I think Dallas will be good in a year or year or so. You know, maybe this year. I don't know. It'll probably – I have to see Dallas making the – to
the Jersey step. I think both of which have decent talent, but they're in divisions that are good. San Diego's a mess, and since Chicago lost its only two players that were worth a damn in the offseason, why, I don't know. Chicago got rid of a couple guys for no reason. I don't know if it was due to ownership change, but I don't think so, because it looks like guys, if I go back and scroll them real quick, let me scroll them, and I'm curious now because I just made such a bold statement. Yujiro Ishihara, you know, he's not a great player. I signed him actually as a free agent just for depth, but I mean, 0.3 WAR the year before, 2.5 WAR. Chicago should not be giving away 3.5 star starting pitchers, in my opinion. I know we've had ownership and we've had turnover and things probably fell through the cracks, but that shouldn't be happening. Pat Pittman, his best player, the number one pick in the inaugural draft, the first ever inaugural expansion draft. Now that I get the words out of my mouth, in the expansion draft, we have Pat Pittman going to Cabos, so that's another loss. And then Atterbury, it's Havana and everybody else. Minnesota's going to be awful. Omaha, which Gary thinks is going to be really good in 3 to 4 years and in the playoffs really soon, which he may be right. That division's not overly competitive, so he could be correct. And I'm not saying overly competitive to say Manhattan Beach, Brooklyn, and Columbus didn't have an overly competitive race down the stretch, because they did, and it was absolutely amazing. I'm saying overly competitive because I think Havana is about to run the fuck wild on everyone in that division. I think Havana's about ready to run the, you know, very possible to have a SoCal type of dominant run. I don't know if he gets the 4 World Series titles in a row. I don't know if he gets the World Series 6 and 8 years and, you know, winning 5 and 10. Because the league is just so, you know, we got four, and okay, in my opinion, we have 4 really dominant teams heading into next year. I think my team is unfortunate, and they'll be very, very good next year. I think Havana is going to be super fucking awesome. I think Maple, and I think South Carolina, and Gary with 3 minutes left on the live cast, heading into another 15. Gary, I have been rambling for a long time. I was just about to get into our tier system. Did you figure out your problem?
Yeah, I rebooted.
All right. Well, Gary rebooted and thus has fixed his problem. I have rambled
for
27
minutes. Let me know if you get any
feedback. What?
Just let me know if you get any feedback.
Oh, I definitely will. You know, I'm not hearing anything yet. We do owe these people another podcast at some point, because I've just rambled for 27 minutes. But that's okay, Gary, because you are here now. You are going to fix everything and make everything better for the next 18 minutes.
Well, 18 minutes, we have a shot. I mean, but the first 27 minutes, I'm not going to say my ears are bleeding, but they needed that. So.
Yeah. I am, as I said, more than competent to host with two people. I am not good just rambling by myself because, A, I don't have
you
the bass in my voice to pull it off.
You did fine. Well, as long as you can stay on topic.
Yes, and I did, because I had no one to take me off topic.
Yeah, forget about off topic. Nobody gets you back on topic, but whatever.
Whatever, yes. Gary, I was just about to get into the tier system. I don't know how much of you heard of my proclamations. I think it's a 3-team race in your division with Cabos with the puncher's chance. I think the same thing can be said for Sparky with Portland, Eureka, and Georgia. Mile High with a puncher's Kansas City with a puncher's chance. Even though Irvin basically admitted in an email today that I'm probably going to fuck myself by not trading people, but I don't care. And dad damn it, he drafted those players. He deserves to go out swinging for the fences if he wants. I think my division's a 14 race with Dallas.
I'm going to agree with him that they're going to go into the Hall of Fame. I'm going to agree with him that they're going to go into the Hall of Fame wearing only one uniform. And I'm going to agree with his earlier statement that he's going to lose 90 games this year. He's done. He's not done. He's going to do better than 70 and 90, but I don't see him. I think Cabo has a better chance to get into the playoffs in my division than Kansas City does in Sparky. Sorry, fuck KC. And by the way, if you're going to change your tire,
Vasquez,
call AAA instead of calling your wife, who's going to tell you to call AAA.
Now, are we sure his wife does not work for AAA?
she might work for AAA, but she doesn't work for AAA.
Hey, yo. So you look at that, Gary, saving the podcast. Now, real quick, Ramon Vasquez via Slack, Gary, is he one of the worst contracts in the ABL?
I don't know. Maybe this year, but not overall. I mean, there's some bad contracts. I mean, some moron gave some relief pitcher $40 million for 1 year.
Hey, you know, it's 4 years. It's actually $90 million, okay? It's $90 million over five. First big free agent signing ever. Yay me.
The one guy who complains that there was no free agents, and all of a sudden, you know.
Signed one guy in the past 18 years.
There are free agents, and now he's bitching. I mean, talking about not making anybody happy.
Hey, man, in 18 seasons, I reserve the right to change my opinion.
There you go.
So I really just don't see, Gary, much changing on your end. I think Cabos, like I said, has a puncher's chance. And I'm going to throw, like I said, I'm going to throw Casey in there because you know what? I want to see what happens next year with when he doesn't have 38 games at home in a row or on the road in a row.
I don't think that matters when take a look at his home and road record overall and where he was going into some of those and where he did fine on both ends. He did exactly what he was supposed to do. So I'm not thinking that that had any bearing at all.
It's still not fun, though.
I didn't say it was fun. But I don't think it mattered.
So now, what about the scheduling thing that everyone was talking about? How we went to a different. Have you noticed that it was brought up? We are playing the same divisions again this year.
No, we're not. Let's just get that straight. No, we're not. No, we're not. The schedule in there is not correct. Goldie's got to change it. I mentioned it to Goldie long before it went public. In one of our private conversations, he's bookmarked it to remember to do it. But he's also, if you remember from last year, we finally went back to interleague play. The 2 years previous, we had issues with the schedule where if it wasn't done properly, in the sequence it needed to be done in, it wasn't done or it didn't happen.
Yeah.
So he's got it bookmarked. He knows when he has to do it. He knows what he has to do, and he'll generate the schedule that way. So it's under control. I notice shit like that because I got nothing better to do, so I look for shit like that. So I let him know about that. Contract violations, there were 10 of them that were flagged yesterday. Yeah, 10 of them. And here's why it's so many and why it's quote unquote so late. Contracts, when you go and extend somebody, it shows it as an extension on the right side of the player screen. I don't have access to see what it actually is. And if I think for me, if you were to look at like one of my players as an example, Laringiera, his contract was $6 million for this year, and the contract, once it kicked in for this year, that shows in that middle portion of the screen where it shows the buyouts. On the right side of the screen, it shows first season, second season, third season, and what the dollar amount. If there's a buyout in there, if there's a something else in there, I can't see it until the end of the year and it flips over. So once it flips over, then I can see all the details of the contracts, and that's why there were
that
so many that were
closed. That is shit load, though.
Versus what?
Guys, read
two
the
of them.
Or ask Gary.
Two, hang on. Two of them were typos. They left off one digit, and it was obvious that they left off one digit. So they got a different recommendation from me to the commissioner's office on what should be done. There is another one that was a recommendation that the year becomes guaranteed as per the Constitution. However, I have a feeling Goldie's going to overturn it based on it. The previous owner is no longer in the league. So the one who gave the contract. And then there were two that were by another owner that wasn't in the league that probably didn't pay attention to the constitution when it came to contracts. And just, we'll just say he didn't. And that's fine. You know, it is what it is. It's covered. It's caught. It is what it is. And then, yeah. And then I think finally, with the contracts, there was about three, maybe four, that were issued before the origination date on that. And those contracts were grandfathered in with not needing a buyout.
Okay, then. There you go. That's still a lot, though.
Ten, I thought it was, actually, but it could have been worse.
I'm sure it has been worse.
Yeah. There's some teams out there that don't issue team options, and it makes going through the thing very good. And then there's other teams that every single player on their team has a team option. I'm not going to mention you by name, but your team is a pain in the ass to go through. Your team by far is the toughest one to go through.
Now, for what it's worth, I do, when I give team options, make sure with you, if I'm doing something funky, that it's within the rules. So Gary is accessible and will give you guys information.
Damn,
if you need
instant feedback.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, Mike, I'm on the shitter. Please let me get off the shitter, and then I'll give you information. But
sometimes
he doesn't while he's on the shitter. Yeah, that also works.
Right.
No, guys,
don't
do that. Yeah.
I just make sure we don't do a video call in there.
We also got another rescout today, Gary, without email, so that's wonderful.
No, we did.
Yeah, we got the 3-1 rescout, but I'm not sure. Or not the 3-1, the 226 rescout. But we didn't get the email again, which I'm not sure why that keeps happening.
No, I didn't know that.
We used to get emails for every single one, the player development updates. We're not getting them anymore, and I'm not quite sure why. We're getting them half the time.
Where the hell is the complaint department? Because I love those. I have in my email in-game player development emails. The first one I got here is July 1st, 2026. I don't delete them.
Right. I know you don't.
So, yeah, I keep all sorts of stuff in my email. I go back to past gold gloves to see how they're doing, where they're playing, you know, if they got a gold glove in the Nippon League. The ones I love are the guys in the Canadian Baseball League with a defense of 37 who wins a gold glove.
Well, you know those Canadians.
Those are
man.
Absolutely.
It's all about,
defense optional.
Well, that, and they pay people off, I'm sure. I was actually looking through the Canadian Baseball League the other day. Actually, funny you brought it up. And lately, I've been really a fan of checking through the player rankings and tagging them. But it's interesting because the players that are listed at the very top are also listed as free agents in our league, and I'm not sure why. Very weird.
Okay.
The number one player. The number one player in the Canadian Baseball League is also a free agent. Like, there's just nobody playing games over there. There's not a single one of them that are actually listed as players.
They haven't started yet.
Well,
We're in spring training. They're in preseason. They don't have full rosters yet. So the rosters you're looking at for the Canadian Baseball League are rosters from the previous year. Those are guys that are held over. And they're not eligible for our draft as of yet. They probably will be in June, but they haven't started yet.
Okay, well that's a good explanation.
If you look at in the Canadian Baseball League, and for those of you who are looking to figure out how to do it, you go at the I got my icon bar at the bottom, so that's how I'm going to describe it to you. At the bottom, it says game, and then there's a world icon. You click on the world icon. You scroll down, and you click on Canadian Baseball League. from there, you move to where your league ABL is, and just click on the league standings icon, which is the baseball field. From there, click on any particular team. I'm going to click on Calgary for kicks and giggles. And with that, they only have 19 players, and their best player is Ken Cashman. Did you follow
my favorite?
Along?
I'm with you, yes. I know exactly what you're doing. Even though I don't have Ken Cashman as their best player, but yes.
Well, who do you have as their best player? I got four.
I have Lance Farmer as their best player. Starting pitcher, Lane Farmer.
Lane Farmer is their best pitcher? I got him half star, half star.
I have him half star, 2.5, and he's 19, and he's probably not going to be anything. But I
now,
do
OSA,
enjoy looking forward to
him. OSA has him 47, 80, and 50 for 3 stars.
That's about
now,
what I have, Matt. Interesting.
Now, here's the thing with Lane Farmer. He's got 2 pitches, a stamina of 50, and they have him listed as a starting pitcher. And OSA has him with 47 stuff. My scout has him 41. If you turn this guy into a reliever and he's only going to pitch 1 inning a game, his stuff, according to OSA, will probably jump up to about 60, making him a 60, 80, 50 guy and maybe a 3.5, 4-star guy under OSA viewpoints.
Do you think John's future Watt is going to declare this year?
Who?
Troyce, the guy I mentioned the other day. Troyce, Rivera Saints. Watt, their catcher.
Oh.
89, 98,
72, 53, 72. Oh, you mean Mr. John Watt?
Yeah, the future of ABL. I love his nickname, Future, because the future is about to be now.
You know what's funny here? My scout differs from him greatly from OSA's.
I have them almost identical.
Okay. My scout, I got the guy flagged already. I've had the guy flagged for 2 years, and I don't know how. But my scout has him 28, 57, 67, 37, 47. And just
that is fucking low.
Yeah, no shit. And just to put it up, he's got no stats to speak of. So I'll just cut this here. I'll post my scout of him into Slack.
Pod damn it.
You want it in Pod damn it? I can put it in Pod damn it.
I'll post mine too here.
And John Watt, future.
I find it
mine's
interesting
posted.
That they're so different.
And now what I'm going to do is just for people who don't believe that there is really a difference here with these guys, I'm going to post his OSA scout page that everybody has access to. But paste, and this is John Watt OSA.
The future of ABL.
Yeah. So that's now up. So it's kind of wild what you see. And like I'm looking at it now on my desktop and I got all 3 pictures up. And it's just kind of wild when you take a look at this because it's how does two, basically 3 sets of scouts see this guy like this and how is my scout that far off?
Right, and we're not saying that my scout's right versus your scout, but this is where I think OSA is a nice time to look at, because more than likely, also he has a nickname, which is usually a good sign for whatever reason, but it's weird because there shouldn't be that much of a difference when you're